Good morning. Welcome to our program, Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer, and I'm the local minister at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. We invite you to come and be with us this morning as we worship and study from God's Word. Today, I want to begin a two-part study that we will conclude next week on the subject of the identity of the church. We want to begin this morning by reading from Matthew, the 16th chapter, verses 15 through 18. And he said to them, "Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." Today, the religious world has complicated the simplicity of God's eternal purpose that He designed in His church. The Bible clearly teaches that Christ promised to build one church. We just read His promise in Matthew 16. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4, we are told that there is but one body. And according to Ephesians 1, verse 22 and 23, the head of that body is Christ, and Christ's body is the church. And according to Ephesians 5:23-25, He is the Savior of the body, and He is the head of it. Salvation is in Christ Jesus, and to be in Christ is to be in His spiritual body, the church. Ephesians 1 verse 3 tells us that's where all spiritual blessings can be obtained. Galatians 3:27 tells us that we can be baptized into that body. And we are baptized by one Spirit into that body, according to 1 Corinthians 12 and verse number 13. In our country alone, there are over 1,400 different religious bodies with varying sects and varying beliefs within those bodies, teaching well over 300 different doctrines. Since Christ only built one, what does that mean? Well, that means the rest must be false or man-made. The problem is, for the honest seeker of truth, is which one is truly the Lord's church, and which ones are counterfeit. Can all the claims be true? Certainly not. Who is right? Who is wrong? Not even all wear His name are really His church. How can one know for certain? Is this an impossible task or an impossible thing to decipher and to determine? Well, truth is, the answer can be found in the Word of God. We need to search out the identifying characteristics of the church of the New Testament, and the one that matches that church will be the one true church. All others must be rejected as counterfeits. Ponder this thought for a moment, listener. The more like the Lord's church a man-made church becomes, the more dangerous it is, because people are more likely to be fooled or be satisfied that they are close enough. All churches have some truth. That's part of their appeal. Let me give you an illustration. I had a friend that worked in the Treasury Department, and his job was to find counterfeit money. He went to school for a year to learn how to do that. When asked by his friend how many counterfeit bills or coins he saw during his instruction time, he was told none, not a one. My friend was perplexed. "Then how can you know how to spot counterfeit money?" He told him that they studied the original bills, the original coins, the way they were written, the kind of paper, the kind of ink, the things that were on it, the words on it, the places where the words were, etc., etc. And he said, "We now know the original so well that when you lay a bill that is counterfeit beside it, we know right away because it doesn't match the original." How close did it need to be? It needed to be exactly. That is what we're going to do this morning. We're going to examine the original. And if you know the original, then you will be able to spot a counterfeit as soon as you know that it does not match the original description. The New Testament is produced by a seed. And according to Luke chapter 8 and verse 11, that seed is the Word of God. God's unchangeable law of reproduction is that everything produces after its own kind. Read Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. This is true in the physical realm, but it is also true in the spiritual as well. When the seed is planted in the heart of an unbeliever, it will produce the same thing that it did over 2,000 years ago, a Christian. Nothing more, nothing less. Did this seed in the first century ever produce any man-made denomination? Did it produce a Baptist, a Lutheran, a Roman Catholic, a Methodist, a Jehovah's Witness, a Mormon, a Presbyterian, an Episcopalian, or anything else that we might add to the list? If not, how can it do so today? If the seed, the unchangeable Word of God, did not produce that in the first century, then how in the world could it produce that in the 21st century? These were produced afterwards by using a different type of seed. That seed were the doctrines of men, the thinking and the human theology that came from the minds of men. That produced a different type of crop, and it did not produce the one true church. So how can you know? How do you know? And how does one undergo the principles of finding the one true church of the Bible? The one produced by that unchangeable seed. Simple, by identifying characteristics. We want to examine some of those identifying characteristics. Number one, by its builder. Who promised to build it? Jesus did in Matthew 16, verse 18. He must be the builder of their house, for all that worship in it are worshiping in vain, according to Psalms chapter 127 and verse number 1. We are told in Scripture that others will be planted, and they will be planted by men, but in the end they will be destroyed. In Matthew 15, verse 13, but he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. There will be imposters. There will be false builders, and they will be identified and uprooted. None others can be attached to the true vine. In John chapter 15, verse 1 through 7, the true vine is Christ, and the church that belongs to him is the only one that's attached to that vine. Others who try to attach themselves will find out that they cannot be attached to the true vine because they are not the true church. And, according to Acts chapter 20, verse 28, that he purchased the church with his own blood. He did not purchase churches. He purchased his church, the one that bears his name, and the one that he is ahead of, and the one that he promised and did build. So number one, the identifying characteristic is, who is the builder? Second, the true foundation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 11, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He is the one foundation. He is the rock, the confession of Peter, that Jesus promised to build his church on. The confession that Jesus was and is the Christ. That would be the foundation of the church. We know that it must be steadfast and true. Jesus even made that principle lesson in Matthew the 7th chapter, verse 24 and 27. And We read in Acts chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, that he is the chief cornerstone. Acts chapter 4, verse 11 and verse 12. This is a stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. There is no salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. That name, of course, is Jesus Christ. And so, he is the foundation. If the church is built on any other foundation, then it is not the Lord's church. And so, that's a second identifying characteristic. The third and the last one that we will talk about today is the time and place of the beginning. It was to be built during the days of the Roman Empire, according to the prophet Daniel, in Daniel 2, verse 44 and 45. It would be built in those days, and it would never be destroyed. According to Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 2 through 3, that new beginning would have the beginning of all nations would flow into it. We read that also being fulfilled and promised by Luke in chapter 24, verse 46 and 47. The first Pentecost after the resurrection of Christ came in Acts chapter 2. That was where all the Jews of every nation were gathered together. And we know that the power came from on high, as Jesus had promised in Acts 1, on the apostles in Acts 2, verse 1 through 4. And then the prophecy of Joel that the Holy Spirit would be poured out on all people of Joel 2, verse 28 through 32, was fulfilled in Acts 2, verse 16 and 17 by being quoted in Peter's sermon. And so, we have Jerusalem, the right place, during the time of the Roman Empire, the right time period, and then we have the beginning of the church that was built by Jesus and that those that were added that were saved in Acts 2:47. So, one of the identifying characteristics is that it began in the first century and it began in Jerusalem. If the church you belong to began at any other time and in any other place, then it is not the Lord's church. Let me give you two examples. The Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints, known as the Mormon Church, it did not begin in the Roman Empire, and it did not begin in the first century, and it did not begin in Jerusalem. It was started by Joseph Smith, and its beginning was not in Jerusalem, but in Salt Lake City. That's the wrong time period and the wrong place. What about the Roman Catholic Church? No, it was started in 606 with the first pope. And it was in Rome, it wasn't in Jerusalem. Wrong time, wrong place. And that's how easy it is, dear listener. The church that you belong to has a history. It has a beginning. And it has a time and a place where it began. If it wasn't in Jerusalem, and it wasn't in the first century, then it is not the church of the Bible, and therefore, it is not the Lord's church, and therefore, it is a counterfeit. These are identifying characteristics. We will examine some more, Lord willing, on next Lord's Day. But you don't take my word for it. Read the scriptures that we give. Study them. Examine them. And see if that's indeed what the Bible teaches. And if you're in the wrong church, what will you do about it? Think about that. And please tune in again next week. And we hope you'll come and be with us on this Lord's Day. Have a good day.